ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवत गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 10, Text 20. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhuta Shayasthita Aham Adishcha Madhyamcha Bhutanam anta eva cha. Translation: I am the Supersoul, O Arjuna, seated in the heart of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Purport: In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Gurakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant, because Arjuna is above such darkness. The Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation by dint of his primary expansion. Before the material creation, the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansion, accepts the Purusha incarnations, and from him everything begins. Therefore, he is Atma, the soul of the Mahatattva, the universal elements. The total material energy is not the cause of the creation. Actually, the Mahavishnu enters into the Mahatattva, the total material energy. He is the soul. When Mahavishnu enters into the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as the Supersoul in each and every living entity. We have experienced that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. Similarly, the material manifestation cannot develop unless the Supreme Soul, Krishna, enters. As stated in the Subala Upanishad, Prakrityadi Sarva Bhutantar Yami Sarva Sheshi Cha Narayanaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as the Supersoul in all manifested universes. The three Purusha avatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also described in the Satvata Tantra. Vishnostu Trini Rupani Purushakhyanyato Viduhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three features as Karana Dakashai Vishnu, Garbho Dakashai Vishnu, and Kshiro Dakashai Vishnu in this material manifestation. The Mahavishnu, or Karana Dakashai Vishnu, is described in the Brahma Samhita. Yah Karana Arnavajale Bhajati Sma Yoga Nidram. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestations, and the end of all energy. The end of all energy. Ahamadischa Madhyamcha Bhutanam Anta Evacha. Particularly this line I want to concentrate in this little talk here. Krishna says, I am the beginning and the middle and the end of all living beings or of all manifestations. Krishna is the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything. So Krishna is the... Yeah, I already said that twice. I guess I don't have to say it again. Beginning, middle, and end. Everything goes in cycles. In the material world, there is Shushti Stiti Pralaya. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. That takes place at the metacosmic level with the manifestation of the universes in seed form from Mahavishnu, which then expand and all kinds of things go on within them, and then they get withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu again. So as they go out, then there are sub-cycles of creation within each universe, creation, maintenance, and destruction. With each day of Brahma, he creates the universe. It's a daily routine for him. That's his job. Some people get up in the morning and go to the office. Brahma gets up in the morning and creates the universe. So, the chief engineer of the universe. And yeah, this is the cycle of the yugas, the cycle of the within the each day of Brahma, there's this cycle of the yugas, then there's the cycle of the seasons. It's a cycle of the life forms. There's birth, child grows, becomes old and dies, then again gets born in another form. With each day, there's a cycle that's somewhat irregular nowadays, largely due to the introduction of electrical appliances, but normally people live their lives in harmony with the rising and the setting of the sun. Udyanastan chayanaso, with the rising and setting of the sun. Krishna is the origin of all of this, and this, and the middle, and the end. He is the factor. The Krishna's life, prana, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, one of his names is prana. He's the life, or Bhuta Krit. He makes everything that exists exist. He is the being of all he is the being of all that bees, of all that exists. So everything goes in cycles, and in this material world, everything leads to destruction. Whatever comes into being must pass. All things must pass. The mighty Himalayas, or the mighty Balkans, they must all pass in due course of time. In Gita here, in this chapter, Krishna says, Stavaranam Himalaya. Among fixed objects, I am the Himalayas. But that's contextual. Krishna's talking about this material world. Nothing really stays at all. Everything, even the Himalayas. There will be a day when those great mountains won't be there. And these great mountains, I never really saw any big mountains actually in the book. They're not really, are they real mountains? I guess they must be somewhere, some real mountains. Balkan mountains, they're called. But I just saw a few hills here and there. Alps, they're big mountains. When Srila Prabhupada was flying over the Alps once, it's got nothing to do with the class, but it's an interesting point. He said that these mountains, they go up to the next varsha. Whatever that means. I don't know. Someone who studied Vedic cosmology could understand what that means, but I don't know what it means. One thing it means is that Srila Prabhupada saw some things that we didn't see. Maybe he saw through the eye of Shastra. I can't say. It's just that was noted in one Back to Godhead magazine that Srila Prabhupada, when he was flying over the Alps. He said that. So everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But in this material world, everything tends toward destruction. And when there's new life, then there's hope. Where there is life, there is hope. And we see that children, unless they're tortured from their early age or severely psychologically abused from an early age, they tend to be carefree and jolly and playful. And we see that about puppy dogs and kitty cats, what they're kittens. They like to play. They're very hopeful. For them, life is good. But as they grow older, then they lose their hope, or they just settle into a routine and then they die. So, especially in the modern age, the people in the industrial civilizations living in big cities, they experience that they don't like this cycle of beginning, middle, and end. People live routine lives. That is necessary in this material world. People rise people rise in the morning and go to work in the field or whatever they do and come back, and they have a routine day, and there'll be some changes in the seasons, just like in this area, people, they don't do field work in the winter because the fields are covered with snow. But there, it's a regular routine. But in city life, people tend to feel frustrated with the routine. What do they call that? The drudgery. Yeah. Boring life, getting up in the morning, going to work. In where I lived as a child, the road was close to the railway station, and the train from there would take 20 minutes to reach a major station in London. So it was a commuting stop. And every morning I'd see the typical British businessmen, stereotypical, they still had them in those days, bowler hats and brollies and black pinstripe suits, all walking down to the station with a grim look on their face, which gave me plenty of impetus to not do that, to become one of these well, earning good money and looking and actually being completely miserable all their life. Whew, there's another class going on over there. It's routine. It's expected. At this time of day, you should shout at the top of your voice or talk normally. So people become tired of the routine, and especially in that generation in which I grew up, there was much protest among young people about the routine way of life, and the hippie generation came out, which wasn't that original, but they thought they were being very original. Do something different. Don't just follow the stereotype way of life. Of course, this had its antecedents in, for instance, the art of Picasso, which not like the art of others previously, in which they're trying to show something beautiful. Originally, all the art was religious, and then it became more and more secularized, and then with Picasso et al., it just became a reflection of the madness in the artist's mind, literally. I mean, even from a professional psychologist's point of view, many of these artists were actually madmen. That's the qualification to be an artist. Actually, everyone's mad, but they just let it out more. The businessmen going down to the down to work, they're also in them, but they don't let it out. Nowadays they have computer games in which it's become socially acceptable and to have your own little mad world. Previously it was just inside people's imagination, but now they brought it out a little bit. So, do something different. Go against the social norm. Be original. Art means to be original. It becomes a bit difficult when you want to do it in buildings because they fall over if they're too original. You have to follow some rules. But in fine art, sculpture, as I several times said in classes a few years ago, in Philadelphia, in the United States, driving past some... There's an area with very nice buildings, aristocratic buildings. And then I saw there's nice lawn in front of one of the buildings. And there was a whole pile of garbage thrown there. And I thought, how could the city allow that? Have all that garbage thrown there? And then I saw a sign, it's the Philadelphia Art Museum. Then I understood the garbage is a work of art. Maybe they couldn't afford to get they couldn't pay anyone to remove the garbage, so they just put a sign in front of it and saying this is a work of art. So do something original. There was one famous artist in England who he had his child 5 years old. He put a canvas and got the tubes of paint and let his child play with it. And then he signed it himself. Then he sold it for a few thousand pounds. And then afterwards he said, actually, it wasn't me who painted it. It was just the kid playing, that's all. But the art critics will come and say, yes, I can see here there's some very deep, significant representation, blah, 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 blah. It was just a kid playing, that's all. So the whole idea, you should do something original. And definitely in music, the great heroes of the 1960s and 1970s experimenting with their with these newly invented instruments, like especially electric guitar, and everyone's heard of Jimi Hendrix, I presume, who was very original. Of course, he ended up in the same fate as everyone else. So, originality. What new thing can you do? Because the feeling that life as it is not very satisfying. Let's do something new. Always try to do something new. And then, I didn't see that because I was already out in India, but in the 1980s, I believe, then the punk generation came and the hippies just grew their hair, but the punkers, they had fluorescent red spikes, one here and a fluorescent green one there, and putting spikes in your face. Actually, there's nothing new. In Tamil Nadu, that's the Thai Pussum Festival every year. The people put some spike right through their mouth, right through their tongue, and out the other side. So, whatever's there, it's all in India. I never saw red spiked hair in India, but you do have bright orange hair. That's quite common. People dye their hair. Muslims, after they've been to Mecca, they dye their beard bright orange as a sign that of prestige, that they're a complete Muslim now. So the whole idea, do something original, do something new. Climb Mount Everest. Well, there's nothing new. Now, hundreds of people have climbed Mount Everest, but at the time it was a great achievement. And recently the first paraplegic climbed Mount Everest. Of course, not everyone has the opportunity to perform such a feat, but the whole idea, discover something. Think of some new business. What can you do? Dress in a different way. The Hare Krishna people used to be something new in the West. People used to look at us. What's that? Nowadays, not much, except here in Lika, all the tourists going past there. But if you go in a big city like London or in the central area especially. No one looks dry. There are plenty of people doing more strange things. And New York people pride themselves that whatever you do, they won't look at you. You can't shock them because they've seen it all. So if someone walks down the street with a tiger skin kopin, wearing only a tiger skin kopin with a dead python wrapped around his body, people just walk past, that's all. They're determined not to give him a second glance. So this whole idea, we have to do something new, original, something better than other people, this is all a manifestation of dissatisfaction with what is going on, and the desire to distinguish oneself, to show oneself to be different, and in that way better than others, unique. And actually we do get the opportunity. Oh, thinking about doing something different. Yeah, that was a whole thing among the hippies. There was one, in one concert, then one someone came and passed stool on stage, just to, how gross can you be? And then I heard this back in the days before I joined the movement. And then it was a Frank Zappa concert. And then Frank Zappa, to show that he could be more gross even, guess what he did? He ate it. So, well, then you can become a pig. And that's it. Material nature gives many opportunities. Many opportunities. At least 8,400,000 different ways to look at this material world, hear the things within it, taste the tastes. You like the taste of stool? You can have a fresh breakfast every morning. Your favorite dish. And all the hogs go running in the fields. Oh, there's this one coming. His stool's really tasty. He eats lots of chilies. So we like the spicy one. So the hogs will be knocking them. One hog will knock the other hog out of the way. Because it's taste, so different tastes. Some of them have they get it before the hog, the intestinal worm. Why did a jiva, who is supposed to be enjoying with Krishna, end up as a worm in the intestines? They had some desire. When the desire to serve Krishna becomes perverted, it can become really perverted. It's not just that being placed in a worm, as a worm in someone's intestine, is a punishment, but there's some desire there, or some kind of perverse desire to be in that situation. And that's shown that if you try to remove someone or some living being from a horrible situation, which they take to be natural, they won't like it. The flies that are flying around the stool, you don't see this kind of thing much in this country, I guess, but in the countryside, maybe the cows pass stool in the field, I guess. The ones that are still, there's still cows in fields in this country. So the flies come, and if you shoo the flies away, they'll come back. They like it. They like to be there. They have a desire for that. So this idea that we want to do something original and different, we'll get the opportunity. It's not that we are doing anything new. It's all been done. Any new kind of music or new kind of hairstyle or new kind of fashion, or it's all been done before. There are millions and billions of universes. There are days, day after day of Lord Brahma. There's so many species of life. There's nothing new. Srila Prabhupada said that in one class. There's nothing new. There's nothing. Don't think we're doing anything new. The sun rises every day. The sun sets every day. people are thinking we're trying out something new, better, different. Isn't that in the advertising industry? They call it the advertising industry. Industry, they don't really produce anything, but it's called the advertising industry. So, new, better. Right, got it. You have to say it with a new, better. But that means their product previously was not very good. New, better, always new, better, new, better, new, better, new, better. Improved. Now this toothpaste will whatever it is, make your teeth zingy white, and they'll never fall out if you use this toothpaste. Because it's new and better. So this idea that something new is always better. But this is a perverse... Well, it's one of the facets of the perverted mentality of the conditioned soul. I think I need something new and different, but actually we just need Krishna. That's all. That's the thing that we're missing. As George Harrison, with the help of Shyamasundar Prabhu, wrote in the introduction to the Krishna book, everyone is looking for Krishna, but they don't know. They don't realize it. Ultimately, everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone is looking for love, but people don't realize it. And even if they're presented, here is Krishna, they won't like. Most people, they're not much interested in Krishna. Unfortunately. But in Krishna's world, there's also a cycle. Morning, noon, evening, night. It also goes on in cycles. But it's always fresh. Everything is new. Seems new. Every time Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys, they feel like it's a new experience in the sense that it's fresh, it's enlivening. They don't feel, another day going out, but they feel, it's wonderful. Every time they see Krishna, it's as if they saw something new and fresh and wonderful and original, which it is, because Krishna is always fresh. Although he is the oldest person, in one sense, he's never the same, because he's always better at every moment. He's complete and perfect. There's nothing lacking in Krishna. He's unlimitedly great in all respects, but nevertheless, at every moment, he becomes more and more and more attractive. We can't understand that, because our consciousness works within the sphere of limitation. Mathematics doesn't work in the spiritual world, because it's all infinity. It only works in the material world, so you can't take your PhD in mathematics to the spiritual world. It won't work. Everything's infinite. Infinite multiplied by infinite. Infinite divided by infinite. Infinite plus infinite. Square root of infinite. It all comes to the same. It's always increasing. But there's variety in that also. That's this whole search for do something different. Variety. We're not satisfied with what we have now. But Krishna is fully satisfying, fully satisfied, and at the same time always new and different. And Krishna is not giving only satisfaction. That's for the impersonalists. They seek satisfaction. Let us be satisfied. Just no more material desires. Now we're satisfied. So satisfaction is certainly there in Krishna. Prashanta nishesha manoratantaram kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshishami sanata jivita. Satisfaction is there in being sheltered in the lotus feet of Krishna, but there's more. There's also variety, and even Krishna's pastimes go on cyclically, but by the power of Yoga Maya, the devotees and Krishna himself, they don't know what's going to happen next. The devotees are genuinely frightened when they see Krishna is captured by Kaliya. They genuinely think that Krishna is going to die or is in danger of death. Even though Krishna never dies, there's no question of Krishna ever dying, but they feel like that, even though they may have seen this pastime again and again and again, but they don't remember. So it's always fresh and always new. And the quality of Krishna's pastimes is that they always seem fresh and new. That's why we hear about the same pastimes again and again. There's Mother Yashoda capturing soon-to-be Damodar. Actually, his eternal name is Damodar. But at this point, he hasn't had his belly tied yet by Mother Yashoda. So, we heard about, you all heard about that, right? You want to hear a new story? Or an old story? You want to hear a new story about Edwin Snowden? Let's talk about Edwin Snowden. No, let's not talk about Edwin Snowden. Let's talk about Krishna. New story. What's the new story he's going to release to the world? New story is that governments are cheating. That's not a new story. There's nothing new that governments are cheating and exploiting. It's going on since time immemorial, at least since the beginning of Kali Yuga. If the most shocking news would be if the government was actually honest and trying to help the citizens. That would be a surprise. So, Krishna, that's a new story. The news. Let's see the news. What's in the news today? What is in the news today? Did anyone see? I didn't see it. I have to get the internet. But apart from the news, we have news from the spiritual world. What's Krishna doing? He's going out in the pasturing grounds. But he did that yesterday and the day before. And he did that millions and billions and trillions and zillions of years ago. And still we want to hear it. Still we like to hear it. In Indian culture, people regularly hear in Indian culture, let's say in Indian culture, as recognizing that real Indian culture is not what goes on nowadays. A lot of what goes on nowadays is not Indian culture. So people like to hear the pastimes of Rama and Krishna again and again, and they know what's going to happen. They already heard it. They can tell you the whole. The people who are hearing it, even if they can't read themselves, they heard it so many times, they can tell you the whole story. But they heard it, and they like to hear it, and they become blissful to hear it again and again and again, because it is a different quality. It's a completely different quality. In this material world, nothing's original. Everything's stale. Everything's boring. Nothing's satisfying. You can have some temporary thrill by dyeing, or people could when it was new, to dye your head red and green and orange and all these different colors, but now it's just normal, maybe not in Lika, but there's nothing new about that. You can't have the satisfaction of thinking, well, I'm just completely, I made something new and different. But Krishna's pastimes, by their very nature, are always fresh, always pleasing, always interesting, always attractive. So, devotees, they also, in a way, lead a stereotype life. They get up early in the morning, they chant Hare Krishna, same song every morning, Sangsara, same tunes even, same mantra, Hare Krishna. As I facetiously said to Divya Prabhanda this morning, he began the announcements by saying, Hare Krishna. I said to him, you've got nothing original to say? Say something different. Do something different. Srila Prabhupada said, this is the Western disease. You always want to do something different. He quoted some Bengali song, stand on your hands and wiggle your legs. Just, you got to do something different. But the actually in Indian culture, in art, the whole idea is not to do something original, but a good work of art is something which just follows what the previous tradition. If one makes a deity, then it should follow the Shastric tradition and the Shastric description and the tradition. Not that you can make some new idea of what the deity of Krishna should look like. So in art, in cooking, in dancing, there are rules to follow, tradition to follow. And the perfection is that one can reproduce that which is already given. And that's considered very satisfying. And we all perceive this. That it's very satisfying because it's not that the form is different. The form is the same. The same mantra, the same Krishna, the same form of Krishna, the same pastimes of Krishna. But the experience of that, Navanavarasa, the experience, the emotional experience of that is always fresh, and which makes the material experience seem hackneyed and disgusting. In material enjoyment, then one may want to have many different sexual partners, but that verse is there. Srila Prabhupada often quoted twice in Bhagavad Gita, as it is, as far as I remember. Yadavadi mama chita Krishna padaravinde navanavarasa dhamanyantamasit antamasit tadavadi batanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukha vikara sushtu nishthivanamcha. He says that now that I am Navanavarasa, now that I'm experiencing the ever fresh, ever new rasa of Krishna, then whenever I think of my previous life, how I used to associate with women, then I become disgusted. My lips curl with distaste and I spit. So, although Krishna consciousness is the same, it might seem like stereotyped or the same thing, rules and regulations to follow. But within that framework, there is Navanavarasa, always new, fresh experiences. It always seems like something new and fresh. It is experienced as something new and fresh, whereas in this material world, everything is stale and dull and tending toward destruction. Nothing satisfies. By not seeing Krishna, everything becomes dull. Whatever we may do, whatever great achievements or whatever new things we may do, everything becomes stale and uninteresting. Whereas Krishna existence is always fresh. So here in this chapter, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna how we can see him in everything. The same world that the materialists see, the devotees see, but they see Krishna in everything. So for a devotee, the world is also charming. They understand that on one side it's hackneyed, it's stale, it's miserable. But on the other hand, because they see Krishna for a devotee, he sees everything blissfully because he sees Krishna in everything. So Krishna in this verse is the first verse of a brief list of his vibhutis, or those wonderful things which can, in this world, which can be seen as representations of him. He says, first of all, I am the Atma, I am the living being, situated in everyone's heart. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, presumably following Baladeva Vidyabhushan, describes that Krishna is not only the Atma within the heart of everyone, but he's Atma, Paramatma, as Karna Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu, and Kshira Dakshayi Vishnu. He's the soul of every living being, he's the soul of every universe, and he's the soul of the whole material manifestation. So Krishna is every living being, and he is the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything. So everything's included in Krishna. So really, we can't get away from Krishna, even if we try, which we're all trying to do in this material world. So Krishna consciousness just means to, in this world, just means to see Krishna in everything. That's all. To see Krishna in everything, and then to understand that we have to surrender to him. And that is our fresh and happy life. Everyday dancing, without intoxication. No one does that. Maybe professional dancers, they do so. But although they may have the satisfaction or the adrenaline burst that they get from exercising their body in various ways, they cannot have the satisfaction of Krishna, being in Krishna consciousness. There's a completely different quality in Krishna consciousness as compared to material life. There are many great singers and dancers and artists, materialists, but really they have no satisfaction. They don't just sing like that, but they really have no satisfaction. One of my godbrothers showed me one article about one famous blues singer. King, what's his name? Something King. No, not King. Because someone else said Billy King, is it? B.B. King. So it was a long article. He said, don't read it all, just read the last line. So, and he said, I have to, he was old, maybe he's died now, I don't know. He's 80-something, and he said, I have to go on singing, because as soon as I stop, what I'm singing about, I actually feel it in my heart. I always have this sense of deep emptiness and dissatisfaction in my heart. So this is a man who's very successful and expert in his profession, but empty, nothing there. Whereas devotees, always happy, always dancing for Krishna, not as a professional, always singing for Krishna, not as a professional, not for money, not for name and fame. Just because, why? They like to please Krishna. It comes naturally. Why sing for Krishna? Well, we can philosophize about it and say, well, we should do this and should do that. But ultimately, a devotee sings for Krishna and dances for Krishna and serves Krishna in various ways. Why does he do it? He doesn't really think about it. Just like, why does a child run to the mother? The child doesn't think, should I run to the mother? Let's work it out. What are the pros and cons? Just naturally runs to the mother. So like that, devotees, the natural attraction is to Krishna. They like to do it. Because, why? That is the natural position. So, when we've done everything else in the material world, again and again and again, we've been a frog and a cat and a dog and a pigeon and a chimpanzee and a worm in stool and a punk rocker and the prime minister and a factory worker and over and over again, we can just surrender to Krishna. They will be fully satisfied. That's all. That is the end of that long article. Hare Krishna. That is the end of this lecture. It is ended. Everything has to come to an end. Unless there are any questions. Actually, Krishna consciousness doesn't come to an end. It always runs on. But there are phases also. Sometimes Krishna is eating his breakfast. Then he takes rest. No, not after breakfast. But he goes out to the pasturing grounds, and there are different phases of Leela like that. Nitya Lila means it never ends. Yes, you always have questions, our friend here. Oh, almost on time.
Ova lekcija obiluje opisima tegoba u materijalnom životu.
Material life.
Da li se može prihvatiti da je Maja Krišnin aranžman za uslovljene osobe?
Do you want to speak in the mic? Then it'll get recorded. Oh, I see. Okay. All right, so I have to repeat it. So this lecture was full of description. It's okay, I'll say it again. This lecture was full of descriptions of the miseries of material life. Little sampling. Then?
Uslovljene osobe lakše podnose te tegobe kada su u Maji.
It's easier for conditioned souls to go through all these miseries when they're in Maya. I didn't really understand, but go on speaking and maybe it'll become more clear. Can we accept what? Is it acceptable because it's Krishna's arrangement for these souls? Is it acceptable? You mean that it's okay? It's is it okay? It's acceptable in the sense that it's okay? No, it's not Krishna's will. It is Krishna's arrangement, but it's not his will. Krishna makes that arrangement because we, the conditioned souls, misuse our free will. And Krishna indulges us. But Krishna doesn't want us to be in this world. That's why he comes to this world and speaks Bhagavad Gita and tells us to come out of it. Just like this material world is compared to a prison. So if we say that, well, actually the prison's built by the government, so the persons in the prison, they're all under the government. So nothing wrong with being in the prison. But the prison, certainly the prison is made by the government, but it's made for those who misbehave and go against the government. So it's a government arrangement for criminals. So certainly the criminals are under the arrangement of the government, but that doesn't mean that they're in a situation which is acceptable as being one of proper behavior. They're being punished. Any example, the child is punished by the parents, so parents know what they're doing, but they don't want to do that. But they do it because they consider it necessary for the child, because the child is doing wrong. That's the example which the Mayavadis make, that with this material world, it's all God's leela. Everything is God's leela. Everything is his will. That's what they say. Once when this argument was brought to Srila Prabhupada, he said, then I'll kick you in the face. And everything's bliss, then I'll kick you in the face and you can enjoy being kicked in the face. But we don't have to kick people in the face. Maya's already doing that. So, Hare Krishna. Another question is there? More questions and questions and questions. Yeah. Today's disappearance day of Vanshivadan Thakur and Vanshidas Babaji, both. Could I please? I guess I can finish the sentence myself. Could I speak about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj? What should I tell you? Everyone should be like Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Okay, no prasad for anyone today. And no passing stool, and no bathing. We can hear about him, but sometimes we're always asked, what's the difference between imitating and following? So, for Vamsidas, we can't imitate him. And really, we can't follow him either, because he didn't act as an acharya in the sense that he gave instruction. So we can just hear about him and marvel at the consciousness of someone who's living in this world, but really not part of it at all. Other devotees, they act in this world as if in some sense part of it to benefit those who identify themselves with it. So his Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was really extraordinary. He would put any punk rocker to shame. But he wasn't doing it to impress others. He was just doing it because he wanted to serve Krishna. He didn't consider doing anything else. He didn't really have any relationship with this material world at all. Is that book there, Vamsidas Babaji? Maybe there. I made one book on that. I didn't plan to write a book on him, but just when I was doing some research into the pastimes and teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so I stumbled across some information about, I don't really like to say that, information about a devotee, but I can't think of a better way to say it. So I thought, well, I might as well publish that also. We can talk, we can't understand. We can talk about Vamsidas, but very difficult to understand. Completely unique kind of life. Yeah, you also had a question.
My name is Absolute, and also this is another different from Krishna. And we see advanced devotees are realizing this. Krishna is not different from his holy name. Still, they feel separation when they are in the material world.
Krishna is his holy name. He is the deity. Still, pure devotees feel separation from Krishna when they're in the material world. How are we to understand this? Well, we hear descriptions of devotees even in Krishna's presence feeling separation from him. How do we understand that? I don't know, because I don't understand it. We can hear about it and pray, Kobe obe bolo shede nama, then when can we understand it? Or when can we enter into that? It's something to be experience, not to be logically philosophized about. Feeling separation from Krishna, even when he's present. Of course, you can call someone's name, and but also desire him to be manifested in other ways. Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna, but at the same time, it's a certain manifestation of Krishna. We treat different manifestations of Krishna, which are in one sense non-different, but we treat them in different ways. For instance, you can't dress or offer puja to the holy name. You serve the holy name by chanting the holy name. We serve the deity form of the Lord by chanting the holy name and dressing and cleaning and all these things. So Krishna is absolute, but there are different manifestations of Krishna also. I thought I saw some out of the corner of my eye. Any hand there? No. All right, so Hare Krishna. This really is the end. of this class. Hare Krishna.